Morning. I want to tell you a story. I want to take you back to 1986, and there is a touring church band, and they arrive in a small town called Kaikoura on the east coast of the South Island, and they play a concert in the high school hall there, and there's a whole bunch of school children there, and one of them is a young man. And he's particularly moved by that. And there's the opportunity to travel to Blenheim to hear the band again. And he takes that opportunity with both hands and travels to Blenheim. And I think it's probably a Friday or a Saturday night. And the hall is full of all sorts of school children from all around the district, probably several hundred, if not more, in this massive hall. And at the end of that at the performance, they have an altar call, and there's an opportunity for that person or any people who want to give their life to Christ to move up and move forward. And this particular young man, he moves forward and he gives his life to Christ on that day. There's a bit of a movement in that. The invitation, the move forward, you know, and actually sort of moving into a life with Christ. If you take the passage today, and put it into a bit of context, there's been some real emotion and some real flow and movement there. Jesus has been working with his disciples and teaching them, giving them the commandments that he was talking about. And then he's died. And this has created this huge turmoil. The disciples are not sure whether it's over, whether that's the end, you know, is anything going to happen? And then all of a sudden, Christ has risen again. Mixed emotions, some are doubting, as we heard, but Jesus takes them to a mountaintop. He takes them high. And then he releases them. He tells them to go. There's a motion, a flow, a movement. He gets them to move away and go out on their own. And this sort of mirrors our Christian living a little bit. I'm just going to move that down. You know, when a lot of us, when we first start to move in this direction, we don't really know who Jesus is. We don't really know what's going on. We just know there's something there, something more in our lives. We've got this yearning for a spiritualness, but we're confused. We don't understand. And we move into this sort of living with Christ. We discover Christ. It's almost like his resurrection with the disciples. We discover this new thing that we've not had before. And we go through this baptism and confirmation, and then we're expected to do something with that, to move, to go out, to do other things, to bring the good news to other people. And it's an obligation or a responsibility of being part of the body of Christ to do that. You can't just keep it to yourself and hold on to it. I've been involved with a group called, with some teaching workshops called Curcio. And as part of that, it's a sort of short course in Christian living, and they teach us about this tripod, this three-legged sort of support mechanism. Or imagine a stool with three legs or a tripod with three legs supporting a weight. And the three legs of this tripod are essential to Christian living. The first one is piety. So piety is actually knowing God, having that relationship with God, being with God. So understanding and living and knowing God and spending time with God. So that's the first leg of the stool. The second leg is study. So reading your Bible, spending time with your Bible, listening to God, praying to God, understanding what he wants you to do and what he's saying to you. But what I'm going to talk about today is that third stool. And we all know that if you try and sit on a two-legged stool, it doesn't usually work out particularly well. So you need that third leg. And that third leg is apostolic action. The word apostolic comes from the word apostle. And in some ways, we're all apostles, because the word apostle means one to go out, one to move, one to go in motion, one to leave somewhere and move out into the world. So in the same way that the disciples or the apostles of Christ went out and spread the word of Christ and started the church, we've got that apostolic responsibility or that apostolic action that we need to do as part of being a Christian and living a Christian life to move forward out into the world. We are called by Christ to make disciples of all nations. that the church might be found everywhere in the world. So I'll put it another word. Give you a little bit of a physics lesson, and if there's any physicians in here, I apologize for simplifying things right down. So I wanted to talk about three forces. The first force is potential energy. So potential energy is a stored energy. Something that has potential energy is something that has got energy in it, but it's not in motion. And then we have inertia. Inertia is the force that makes something really difficult to move. You know, when you first have to push start a car or you're trying to get something heavy moving, it's really hard to get it moving. And you have to apply a lot of energy to get it moving. But once it's moving, it stays moving. So the force of inertia acts on an object to keep it straight, to keep it steady. And then it acts on the object to keep it moving. So there's like a resistance to change almost. And then there's the force of kinetic energy. And kinetic means moving, so that's the energy of moving. So if you think about this ball as us, maybe, and Jesus, you know, in his relationship with us, he lifts us high, fills us full of energy, gives us all this potential energy. But it's just potential energy, and we have inertia, we're not moving. And we have to give it a bit of a nudge. And once you give it a nudge, that potential energy turns into kinetic energy, and there's movement, there's flow, there's action. So that obligation, that action, you have to take an action. So our call to action is a direct result of the following: baptism. So in the words of the New Zealand Prayer Book, will you proclaim by word and action the good news of God in Christ? And usually everybody says yes. And then in our confirmation, I think the bishop usually does this, but the words are, empower your disciples to bring life to the world. It doesn't say sit in church and enjoy being basking in the glow of Jesus Christ. It says go out into the world, action, movement, overcome your inertia and move. So what are the goals of this apostolic action? What are we trying to achieve? So we want to tell people about Jesus Christ. Not hold it to ourselves, spread it, tell other people. We want to help other people discover and grow in a relationship with God. It's something to be shared, it's not something to hold on to and protect and hide away. And it's about transformation of society and its structures, you know, things like overcoming sort of, you know, societal problems and issues. The characteristics of action. So key points we're talking about are things like it has to be motivated by a love of God. It can't come from yourself and be something that is yours. It has to come from God. And it has to come from the heart. It has to be something that you'll really feel God drawn to do. It has to be well thought out, carefully planned, and based on our sort of thoughts and directed by our head, not something that you get sort of passionate in and then it sort of burns out and you've got this thing half done, you know, something that you're deliberately doing. And it has to be about persevering and an act of will. And balanced. We need to understand that God wants us to do our part, and that can be a small part or a big part. We all get called to do something. And we have to understand it's something you can't do on your own. It has to be God standing next to you. I think I'm guilty of this a lot of the time, is trying to do these things by myself and not calling on, you know, Jesus to walk in with me and give me the strength. And when you do that, you get tired and you get run down. But if you do it with Jesus and Jesus with the way, then you'll get that energy from him that you won't necessarily have yourself. And it has to rely on prayer and ultimately sacrifice. You have to be giving other things up. You have to spend time on this. It can't be something that you just do when you've got 5 minutes spare here and there. And sacrifice can be many things. It might even be down to, I'm a little bit afraid to talk about being a Christian, but I'm going to do it anyway. And, you know, sort of outing yourself as a Christian in your workplace or something like that. You know, there's a certain amount of sacrifice or potential sacrifice there, as people might change their opinion of you. How can it be exercised? Well, there's individual actions that you can take. just that little word or that spending time with people or, you know, doing something around church. You know, we hear and every now and then Ian's giving flowers to people who are actually, you know, spending time by themselves doing things within church. You know, I sort of, Matt spends a lot of time on vestry doing financial stuff, and I talk to him about that on a regular basis. You know, there are people in the church who are doing things by themselves, just sort of helping out. But then there's groups, and we've got small groups, and we can go out in action. And I think the groups are the greatest sort of thing, because it doesn't have to be so scary, because you're in there together and you're all sort of giving each other energy and you're moving forward. You don't have to do it by yourself. It's not quite so scary. You're in a group. And finally, through various organizations, Christian and non-Christian, that you're involved with. What does it look like for me? Well, you know, I was involved with youth ministry for a while ago, and I really enjoyed that. It was a bit of a challenge for me. I was sort of relating to these guys over here, but I see some of the young guys that were like, you know, 15, 16 when I was doing youth ministry there, and that was a great time in my life, you know, helping those guys and ladies. I spend a lot of time sitting down the back there, and I'm sort of doing that today, sound desk, so I get to work with the wonderful music team that we have, the worship team that we have, and all the time there, you know. And one person in particular, I know. And finally, I'm spending a lot of time with men's ministry and the Casio training and doing the Casio weekends. And, you know, just there's something magical about sitting down with a group of men and talking about Christ and talking about, you know, sort of our spiritual growth and development, that is just really amazing, that you just get that bondship. And with Casio, you actually get to meet a whole bunch of people right across the diocese rather than just from your own church. And for me, that's a real blessing. And if you want to sign up, come and see me after. And finally, sort of speaking about God, and I'll tell you a little bit of a story. I was in Auckland. I'd been out to dinner. I spent a fair amount of time in Auckland. I was walking down the street, I'm heading home, and there's this homeless guy sitting on the street. And I think John or someone had been talking about, you know, sort of reaching out and doing all this sort of thing, and it was a bit scary, but I sat down next to this guy. And we started chatting, and I said, you know, Jesus loves you, and, you know, how are you going? And he told me his story, and I bought him a kebab, which he put away in his bag, so I think he probably saving it for later, because maybe someone else bought him some food or something. And I said, how are you feeling? And he had a bit of a sore knee, so we prayed for his knee. And I tell you, I was terrified doing that, but, you know, I don't know what difference I made to this guy's life, but at least he had something to eat, and, you know, maybe his Jesus saw it well enough to actually sort of heal his knee. And I see other people doing, you know, stepping out in faith around church. I had a good chat to Scott Wheeler the other day, and he was talking about how he's undertaken to say a prayer before moving into his workplace every day, and taking on faith that Jesus will work with him. And he has had a significant number of conversations with people at his workplace about being a Christian and what this Christianity is all about. So have a chat to him about that. It's really, really interesting. I think there's some incredible things working with the Wheeler family at the moment. And finally, I sort of called out Jeff Lee, and, you know, he's really excited about having the AYM in his house and all that sort of stuff. And he was telling me how much of a blessing that is for him at the moment. So God has the big picture for us, and he asks us to just do our little bit. Now, that might be a big bit. You know, you look at you look at Guy and Summer and what they're doing overseas and all that sort of stuff. That's huge, and not all of us can do that sort of stuff. But, you know, just that one word might be just enough to set someone into motion and get them to actually, you know, move closer towards Jesus. And we have no idea what that little one word would do, but it could be doing incredible, amazing things for people further down the line. Everybody's on a journey with God. There's motion, there's movement. Sometimes we have a little bit of inertia. Sometimes we need to push ourselves a little bit, but we need to keep ourselves in motion. And what you do may be that one step in someone else's journey. And I think back to small acts have big impacts. So going back to that story, and that person was me, you know, that band, that was a pretty, you know, they sort of sacrificed some time and they had a real impact on me. And just that small act of someone taking me to Blenheim, where I could actually move forward and accept that, you know, Jesus into my heart was, you know, got me up here sort of how many years later? Probably 30 years later. About 30 years later. Just doing the sums in my head. And I just remember that day. That day I was absolutely flooded with the Holy Spirit. I felt like I was on fire. And, you know, God was speaking to me and says, you have to be first one up. You know, and once you move, everybody else will follow. So I was out of my seat before I even knew what was going on, and I was down the front, and I don't know, but, you know, there might have been someone in that audience who was going, I'm not sure if I'm going to go up there or not. And then, look, I'm up there, and they just followed me. I have no idea, but that may have happened. So there's pens and paper on the side of the pews there. So while the band is going to sing a song, I just want you to spend a few minutes or a couple of seconds just thinking about what talents and gifts and things can you bring. And I want you to particularly think about intergenerational, because one of the things I find that I want to sort of see if we can lean into is the, you know, we've got the 9 o'clock and we've got the 10:30 and we don't really mix. But then I was really struck by looking at the parish dinner the other day, and we had the young and old dancing with each other and all that sort of stuff, and it's incredible. And then, you know, then Jeff's working with the youth, and I just think, you know, if there's something around that intergenerational work, and, you know, if there's, you know, there's some lonely older people who need your company, or if you're a bit older and you've got those skills and knowledge and you can pass that on to the younger groups, and there's sort of mentoring and things like that, that's something that's been on my heart and Jesus has been talking to me a bit lately about. So just take a few minutes. What are the two or three things you can bring to church that you might not maybe be using now? And then who are the two or three, or one or two or three people I could work with in church, either as a group, you know, sort of I could work with the youth more, or, you know, I think I could spend more time with Liam, helping him with this or that sort of stuff, if there's anything like that. And then just maybe make a note down as to when you're going to do this, because if you give yourself a timeline or give yourself a goal as to when you're going to do this, then that sort of creates that motion a little bit more. So, yeah, so it's just pens and paper around and spread those out. Not going to ask you to do anything with the actual pieces of paper. You take them away with you and stick them in your wallet or your purse or whatever, and